Our theme is going to be the Beatitudes, and so we'll begin that exploration by reading responsively in the back of the order of service. M for minister, C for congregation. The Beatitudes of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew.
Blessed are the humble,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn,
for they shall be comforted. For they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
For they shall be satisfied.
Blessed are the merciful.
For they shall obtain mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart.
For they shall see God.
You are the light of the world.
Let your light shine. The Beatitudes are in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew is sometimes called the teaching gospel. The authors of Matthew took both oral and written sayings by Jesus and then grouped them into five major sermons, the most important one being the Sermon on the Mount. This covers the basic ethical guidelines of the teacher Jesus. The Beatitudes are the first teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, implying to me that they summarize all that is to follow. Understand the Beatitudes, and you understand the moral grounding of the New Testament. One way to understand the Beatitudes is to contrast them with their opposites: humility, arrogance; mourn, that is the capacity to cry and have feelings; unfeeling, meek, bossy; hunger for righteousness, which is morality; amoral, who cares about ethics, do whatever you want; merciful, judging; pure of heart, which means authenticity; cleverness; peacemaking; and war making. So on one hand, we have unfeeling, arrogance, bossy, amoral, judging, clever, war-making. And on the other side, we have humility, feeling, meekness, morality, mercy, authenticity, and peacemaking. And which side of this equation do we want to live on? The Beatitudes lead us in the direction of our deeper humanity, which in theological language is called our soul. The Beatitudes lead us towards a world where human beings would live in harmony and respect with each other and with nature. These opposite values create a human grandiosity, which is destroying the environment and creating war. And with prophetic language, for Jesus was a Jewish prophet, he taught that these grandiose values would lead to great gnashing of teeth, whereas the Beatitudes would lead to the kingdom of heaven on earth. Sounds good, but difficult to live. It's challenging to live the Beatitudes in the world. Take, for example, political advertising. Running up to the recent election, we had a month of attack ads. And these ads are nasty. They attack the opponent by twisting the facts, showing ugly photographs of them, and by fear-mongering. And the premise of these ads is this: whichever side is the most effective at being mean and nasty will win. Is this the way we want the world to be? No wonder the politicians have such a low approval rating. Now, each of these Beatitudes can help us psychologically. For me, the ability to love myself depends upon my ability to be humble, authentic, and feeling. In my own personal therapy, I explored my own inner critical voices and how I tried to overcome them by dysfunctional choices. And to be psychologically healthy, I needed to love the vulnerable, wounded places within me. I needed to cry, to mourn, which is often not easy for a man in this culture. I needed to learn to be gentle and meek with myself. And gradually I discovered the experience of unconditional love, agape love, what Jesus is trying to teach to the world. I learned that purity of heart, which is being authentic and not holding any grudges, makes me a lot happier in this world than my anxious drive for proper performance. So I learned to apply the Beatitudes to my own psychology, and it made me healthier. Now, of course, this is an ongoing process. Those inner critical voices never fully go away. And to love oneself is a daily practice of attentiveness, compassion, and commitment. The Beatitudes can also guide us in our social justice work. Martin Luther King used to say that in the modern world, there was an 11th commandment which trumped the previous 10. It was, just don't get caught. This amoral attitude says, you can do whatever you want, just don't get caught. So in this atmosphere, there's a lot of cleverness. How do I hide what I'm doing so I don't get caught? And so in contrast to genuinely hunger and thirst for righteousness, for good ethics, can make us seem naive at times. For example, to be merciful, when the majority of citizens seem to be calling for all those undocumented children to be returned back to the Central American gang-infested towns, to advocate mercy can make us seem sort of weak and hopelessly romantic. But what kind of world do we want? A world based on fearful use of power, or a world based on authentic love? And that was the confrontation Jesus had throughout his ministry, between the fearful use of power and the authentic use of love. The Beatitudes can also deepen the quality of our primary love relationships. In order to deepen our love relationships, we need all the Beatitudes to be in practice. We need to be authentic. We need to not be holding grudges. We need to share our feelings. We need to work at being peacemakers. We need compassion. We need humility, and we need to hunger for a depth in this relationship. And without these values, our primary relationships start to become shallow. And in a similar manner, we need the Beatitudes to deepen our connection with the earth. Yes, we need to be meek in order to inherit the earth. That doesn't mean being a doormat. It's a beatitude in relation between us and nature, meekness. We need to remember that every single breath we get is a gift. Did we invent our breathing? That every single footstep we take is a gift. Did we make the earth? It's all a gift. We did not earn it, and we are called to be good stewards of it. So meekness in relation to the earth is love. It is loving the earth. As the proverb goes, walk lightly upon the earth, for it is sacred. Right now, we're walking very heavily upon the earth. Jesus taught agape love, universal love for all humanity, for the whole world, including love your neighbor as yourself. To put that agape love into practice, to make it real, not just an esoteric idea, he gave us the Beatitudes: humility, compassion, mercy, authenticity, morality, meekness, and peacemaking. May these values guide our daily living.
Today, I'm going to offer some reflections from my own journey with the first Beatitude. This is, blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I offer this as one way of thinking about humility, not the only way. And then in meditation, I'll invite you onto this journey as well. Blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'll start off with a confession. I often resist contemplating humility because I find it challenging. Humility opens my heart to the pain in the world, and it leaves me feeling raw and vulnerable. But there are good reasons to practice humility. Humility helps us to be better people, to open to improving ourselves, and to be more fully human. Personally, working with humility has given me a greater sense of peace in my heart. I feel more connected to others, more able to be compassionately present in my relationships. Finally, humility has surprised me by filling me with a profound sense of love and joy that I hadn't anticipated. So, what does it mean to be humble? We're told that to be humble is to not overly praise ourselves. But what I'm going to share today is that for me, to truly be humble is to be open to giving and receiving love. Each day I judge myself, as I think we all do, whether I'm a success or a failure as a person. On a good day, I feel like I'm deserving of love because I've succeeded. But on bad days, when I determine I'm a failure, I judge that I'm not worthy of love. So I close myself off to receiving the love that's so freely offered by my family and friends, by the greater beloved community, and the love that I would offer myself as well. So once I saw that connection, that I was unconsciously judging myself as worthy or not of being loved based on my successes and failures, of course I realized it's a flawed endeavor. The truth is, we're all worthy of love. And we don't need to be anyone or do anything to deserve it. To remember this, moment by moment, through the day, is to cut through the voice of that inner critic and all the posturing we do in our misguided efforts to be worthy of love. We all have our ways of seeking love unconsciously, ways of trying to succeed in life, to prove we're worthy of being loved. Having enough money, enough house, enough stuff, or trying to be attractive enough powerful enough, popular enough. The practice of humility, as I see it, is realizing that we're all better served by abandoning the quest to be deserving of love, and instead remembering that there's nothing we need to do or achieve to be worthy of love. We simply need to admit we want to be loved. We want to be loved by our family. We want to be loved by our friends, by our partners. And we want to be able to love ourselves. The practice of humility is to recognize that there's nothing wrong with loving ourselves for who we are. And there's nothing wrong with seeking love from others, independent of any criteria or judgment. This is a work in progress. I continue to struggle with humility, as we all do. So it's important to be gentle, forgiving with ourselves in the process. Blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. By being open to receiving and giving love, we're admitted into that kingdom of heaven. Being loved and loving unconditionally is heaven. Amen.